Have you ever heard the phrase, a tough act to follow? Yes. I'm going to invite you to think about this question that we're meditating on today. The question has various forms, but it's where is God, or is God real, or God, where are you, or how can I see God? And we're just going to take a few moments today. I want to invite you to think about that text together, or that question together, because it's a question that humans have asked for centuries. In fact, if you, as we're going through this sermon series called Grappling with God, in which we're looking at the questions that many of us are asking about faith and about Christianity, about God, about the Bible, we're wrestling with these questions, and many of you have submitted questions. And if, by the way, if you'd like to submit questions, you can find out more information in your handout on how to do that. But a lot of the questions that y'all have given are anchored in this idea of where is God? How can I see God? How can I experience God? Even some questions like, what do I do when God feels far away? Have any of you ever explored those questions? It is not abnormal. In fact, it's quite common throughout the Bible. In the Bible, you have people who are saying things like, God, are you asleep? Like in the Psalms, there's these folks who say, God, why have you turned away from us? God, why are you ignoring us? God, are you even there? And so if you've ever found yourself asking, God, are you there? God, I can't see you. God, are you real? You're asking a very biblical question. Even in InterGen Theater, one of the questions that we're asked is, am I allowed to ask that question? One of the things I would encourage you in is God loves it when we ask questions. Faith grows in good questions. In fact, the series that we're in called Grappling with God, it's anchored in this part in the book of Genesis where God names his people, wrestles with me. God delights in us wrestling through with him these deep and profound questions. Faith often grows through questions. And we're thinking about this question, where is God? And I've had many different experiences as I've served as a pastor in different ways. And I've heard people say things like, well, God is here. Or people would say, I sensed God, or I sensed the presence of God. There was one time a few years back, I was in a place called Chivale, Uganda. And it was interesting because David, who was there, and he and his wife Abby, they serve leading a school there and a broad ministry. But they had obtained this property in this kind of rural area of Uganda. And we were walking around their property, and it's kind of this big bowl. Like there's these hillsides surrounding around this big bowl, and they've got this beautiful school and property there. And we're walking around, and there's fruit trees everywhere. I mean, there's fruit and dates and like plant, and there's all this food growing out of the ground. I'm not sure if you know that that's where much of our food comes from. It's the ground, and so they were all this food is coming out of there, and we looked around and said, David, does this happen all around in this region? Is it the rain? Is it the soil? Like, there's so much food here. In fact, there was so much food that they had been feeding much of the people in the surrounding area with the food that had been grown on their property. And David said, no, it actually is kind of unique to this spot. In fact, we started praying over this spot that God would bless this place. And the fruit actually has grown much faster than it usually does here in this region. And he said, we think God has been present here. What he was saying was that our eyes are seeing something happening where God is present here. By the way, we're sending a team of teachers and folks who are going to host a camp for the students over there. We're sending a team from Desert Springs to Uganda in, like, I think 8 weeks. And they're going to be out on the patio selling shirts and hot dogs today as a fundraiser. Also, next week, they've got some Mother's Day flowers that they're going to be selling, and all the proceeds go to support that trip. So we'd invite you to take a look at that out on the patio after service. One of the reasons why I love being part of those trips is because of that perspective of seeing God in a fresh way. I've never really thought about looking for God in fruit trees. And yet David could see it, and David helped me see God there. And we're exploring this question, where is God? How do I see God? I'm going to need your help today. there's two words, and they're super nerd words. All right? They're super nerd. So I need our adventure kids to help us today, because I think that these are going to be like so nerdy that we're going to need to illustrate them for the grown-ups in the room to understand what we're talking about, okay? These are the words, imminence and transcendence. These are super nerd words. We're going to do it one more time, and I need a little bit of a nerdy reaction. Imminence and transcendence. That's right. Now, imminence just, transcendence means, and this is, maybe we could do this hand motion together. Transcendence means, or transcendent means, that God is big. Help me out. That God's big. He's up there. So even like when we raise our hands to worship, we're kind of gesturing towards the bigness of God. Transcendence means that God transcends, that he is huge, that he exists outside the cosmos. I mean, this word transcendence, which is super nerdy, it's trying to get at this idea that God is beyond his creation. He's beyond. He is out there. He's uncontained. He's independent. You can't capture him in space and time. That God transcends the ordered cosmos. That he is beyond us. So God is transcendent. You got to do the hand motion thing. Transcendent. And you see this all throughout the Bible. God is this booming voice in Sinai, wrapped in fire and storm. In Isaiah chapter 6, there's this vision that this dude Isaiah, which the book is named after, this dude Isaiah has this vision of God, and he's terrified because God is so big. He's holy and other than the human. And so God is big. And in fact, in this vision that Isaiah has, he only really sees like the feet of God. He doesn't even see the whole. And so God is transcendent. He's big and he's holy. In the book of Job, which Amy named just a moment ago that our kids explored at camp, in the book of Job, there's this line where God says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the cosmos?" So God is transcendent. Have you guys ever looked up at the sky at night in a place that's not Phoenix, which has rampant light pollution? If you ever go out into the desert or to the woods and you look up, what do you see? And is it big? It's vast. I was captured. My imagination was captured by the Artemis mission to go around the moon. I did a lot of nerd stuff about that. And one of the things that so captured my imagination were these images of the cosmos. And then also the image of the Earth's place within the cosmos. It made me feel quite small in this vast, vacuous, you know, dark place of space. Here we are as this little floating, you know, spaceship Earth floating through this massive space. And the Bible will even talk about humans saying things like that God even knows like the stars and that he's numbered them, which means he kind of knows each one. That blows my mind. It speaks to God's bigness. And for many of us, is it fair to assume that many of us can kind of imagine God as being big and transcendent? That's kind of like a common, it seems like all of us are like, yeah, God's big. Like, God's big, he's other. But most of the time, what we're asking isn't, is God big, is God other? We're asking questions like, how can I, here on spaceship Earth, have an experience or an encounter with God? Or, God, where are you? Meaning, how can I see you or experiencing you? And this gets to this other nerd word, which is immanence. So transcendence, and then I need your help. Transcendence, and then immanence. So transcendence, God is huge, he's big, he's totally other than us, he's totally outside of creation, his being calls us to worship, but also his immanence is he is present with us, as present, as Steve said, as a great grandma hug. That immanence means that God is near to us, that he is close to us. Throughout the Bible, you will get God as revealing God's self as spirit or wind. In the book of Genesis, it says, early on in Genesis, is that God would walk with the human in the wind of the day, that God's presence was felt, just like how, if you guys ever had like the wind blow on you and how it kind of covers over your whole body, like God's presence is like the wind. In 1 Kings 19, we're told that God will speak to us in a still, small voice. There's all these interesting little places like mountaintops or temples and tabernacles where it seemed like a hot spot for God's presence, that people would go up a mountain and they would have kind of a unique encounter with God. And that didn't mean that God was stuck on the mountain, because God is transcendent. But there are these places on earth where God would sometimes do unique interactions with humans, like a mountain or there was this thing of the in the book of Exodus where the people were like, hey, we want God to be with us, but because God is totally transcendent, the question is well, how can God be with us if he's totally transcendent? So one of the ways that you see in the book of Exodus is they built this tent called a tabernacle, and God's presence, it wasn't only in the, like, it wasn't contained in the tabernacle. There's something unique about the tabernacle. It was, I think, this is my opinion, but I think it was God stooping to how humans could understand him. And when he enters in the temple, he became, in a sense, it became a spot where they could touch. They could walk up and sense the presence. They could go into the tabernacle, go around the tabernacle, even touching the tabernacle. And I think it was God stooping down to us to say, here I am. And so this idea of God being in the tabernacle, it was a way of the transcendent God becoming immanent, transcendent and immanent. Now this immanence fascinated many of the biblical writers, because a lot of people, like Christian or not, they think of God as transcendent. That's not really surprising for a lot of people. What's really surprising is that God actually draws near. One of the interesting, like, one of the like super unique things about Christianity is the immanence part, not the transcendence part, but the immanence part. And this idea of the immanence God, it you see it in its like most vivid way in Jesus. You guys ever heard of Jesus? It's this really, okay, so just hang with me here. This is gonna sound weird, but just come with me. People would talk about Jesus as if he was God in the flesh, or God become human. The transcendent become immanent. You see it? And so we will ask the question, where is God? Even many of us are curious, what does God look like? And you know what's so fascinating to me about God? Is that he gave us himself in human form, because it helps us understand what God is like. It's not an abstract idea. It's not just some idea that's up in the sky. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Jesus says things like this: I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus in the Gospel of John will say, I want you to abide in me. This language of abide, it's an old-timey word. We're doing nerd words and old-timey words today, just for Steve. The idea of abide, it's have you ever had one of those hugs where you're so sad or you're so tired that when you get the hug, you kind of sink into the person? Has this ever happened to you? Who's this happened to? Okay, help me out. I just want to know if this is working. I'm not a very good preacher. So you hug, but then you like slink into the hug, right? To where like they're carrying your weight. Is that, you guys know what I'm talking about? And it's almost like, and your bodies are like like resting into each other, yeah? Because like when the transcendent became immanent, he invites us to abide in him. And so one of the ways that we can experience the transcendent becoming immanent is in and through Jesus, who says, abide with me, rest in me. Jesus will even say things like this: I want to invite you to enter in to my rest. And so when we ask the question, where is God? What does God look like? He gives us the most vivid answer in Jesus. And we get to experience Jesus today, not only maybe when we sing and sometimes we feel him, it's like the Bible will talk about the Holy Spirit being with us. So sometimes we can feel that, but we can also experience, and this is like, Jesus says, and Steve was hitting on this a little bit ago, that those who follow Jesus are called the body of Jesus. And one of the ways you can actually feel the immanence of God sometimes is through others who follow him being like him to each other. That we can even be like Jesus to each other and just catch a glimpse of the transcendent God becoming immanent. So I'm going to pray for us. If you don't mind, if it's helpful for you to close your eyes as we pray together. And so, transcendent God, the one who holds the universe together by the word of his power, the one who has created all things is totally other than us, and immanent God, who has become one of us, who dwells with us, who is present with us even now. May we be a people who are shaped by and guided by that truth, that you are the totally other transcendent God who has become immanent with us. In our fear and our anxiety, in our sadness and in our frustration, in our joy and in our happiness and our celebrations, may we sense you near. And moreover, may we be like you to all that we encounter. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen and amen. Friends, if you would like prayer this morning, members of our prayer team will be available down here at the foot of the steps. If you're not able to make your way down, that's totally fine. Just wave, grab their attention, and members of the prayer team will come to you. Otherwise, you are dismissed to go check out the Uganda hot dog situation on the patio.